Pastor Mike Hoggard coming to you from Watchmen Studios with another Watchmen video broadcast. Since the last time we recorded a Watchmen broadcast in our top secret broadcasting and research facility, Truth Manufacturing Compounds, what we call it. I've been to Lebanon, not Lebanon the country, Lebanon the city, Missouri, and then a trip to Kenya, and we've been releasing the videos from those particular meetings that we had. Fantastic meetings, especially the one out in Kenya. It was very tremendous, very beneficial for me. I learned a lot. But anyway, we're going to get back into Manasseh and what he did and how he sort of built his own little private pyramid. If you remember, we've been studying 2 Chronicles chapter 33. We've been going down the list of the things that Manasseh did. We're doing some in-depth study. We're not just skimming the surface of the Bible. We're getting down to where the meat meets the bone, all right? 2 Chronicles chapter 33, the Bible says Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but he did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. This would be the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the giants of the land of Canaan. This was the things that they were doing. So, and here we have our list here. We have 13 things that he does. The 14th thing, of course, he sets a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God. But let's look at the 13 things that he does to bring him to that point. He built again the high places, reared up altars for Balaam, made groves, worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. He built altars in the house of the Lord, and he built altars for all the host of heaven. He caused his children to pass through the fire. Also, he observed times and used enchantments. Now we're dealing with, he used witchcraft and dealt with the familiar spirit and with wizards. Those 13 things, you see the 13 rows on the unfinished pyramid on the back of the $1 bill. And then finally, number 14 would be that capstone. He said, a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God. And of course, we go to places like Isaiah 14. We're going to cover that again. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High, Lucifer says. Ezekiel 28, concerning the prince of Tyrus. And I think it was referring to a principality. He says, I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas. Well, that is a reference to the throne of God. And there was this sea of glass clear as crystal. Remember, the four-chamber heart is surrounded by a sea, an ocean. It's salt water. It's called the pericardium. You saw, if you watched last week's Watchmen broadcast, the translator was having a little bit of trouble because there were some scientific ideas that were not really in the... He was translating into the Samburu language. Most of the people there could understand English. They had a problem understanding my accent. I have no idea why they couldn't understand me. But anyway, he was trying to explain very technical things in a language that was very, very old. They didn't have words for red blood cells, white blood cells, pericardium. Didn't know that, all right? But now they know. So, and God bless that man for translating an old goat from America like me. But anyway, we have that the throne of God in our heart, the sea covering that, surrounding it, the pericardium. So back in Ezekiel 28, we see that he says, I am God, capital G, I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas. And then 2 Thessalonians 2, we see the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's what this image is all about. And this is, we're studying not just what Manasseh did, but we're taking that and we're looking into what is going on right now. Witchcraft and wizardry, the religion that God hates. If you look in the Bible, examine it. There are two religions in the Bible. There is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Bible Christianity, belief, grace by belief, and then there are various forms of works-based religion, which the Bible refers to as witchcraft. Remember, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Now, Bible-believing Christians are guided and led by the Holy Spirit of God. Those who practice these various forms, Masonry, Mormonism, the Sacred Name People, Seventh-day Adventists, Roman Catholicism, there is a spirit that works in them and through them to bring about this pinnacle, this capstone, to finally lay that thing on top of the unfinished pyramid. Capstone, the word cap means chief, or it means the head, the top, all right? So the capstone goes on the top, and it signifies that it rules and reigns over all of the parts of the pyramid. The parts of the pyramid, we're going to find this out when we get to the last part of this series. The parts of the pyramid are humanity, humankind. 72 stones in that unfinished pyramid, Manly Hall says that. Those are the 72 nations that God divided in Genesis chapter 10. So it's humanity, and this one-eyed God is going to rule over all mankind. That is the Antichrist. So we are on the fast track, you could say, of building this pyramid layer by layer. It starts out with this, and then we add to it that, then we add to it that, and now we're adding the elements of wizardry, witchcraft, sorcery, things like that. And we talked about I know this has been several weeks ago, so I'm going to kind of cover back some of that material. Witchcraft deals with getting magical power from what they call the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. And there is a spirit that works witchcraft, that works a works-based doctrine. That spirit is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She is the opposite spirit of God's Holy Spirit. She is seen in 2 Kings chapter 9. She's seen in various places in the Bible as a woman by the name of Jezebel. Notice what's being said here about Jezebel. And it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "What peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many." So now we're going to pick up what we started studying the last time we were doing this, and that is, who is Jezebel? What is her nature? What is her role? What is her character? How does she work? Because all of these things, Paul said, are given to us as examples, in samples, unto whom the ends of the world are come. We're supposed to look back in the pages of the Bible, which is what we're doing, 2 Chronicles 33. Looking back at the pages of the Bible to see what has been done so that we can understand both what is being done now and what will be done. So we started a study of, since we saw that Jezebel, a.k.a. also known as, the K is silent, Jezebel, also known as Mystery Babylon the Great, we're going to study Jezebel to see how she works. We noticed that the last time we did this, she was a servant of, quote, 1 Kings 19:2, "Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not the life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." She is a servant of the gods. Deuteronomy 13:2, "And the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them." And then down in verse 13, certain men, the children of Belial. If Belial's their father, I wonder who their mother is. Jezebel. All right? "Certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, Let us go and serve other gods." So let's put these two together. Let's put witchcraft and the concept of serving other gods. You see, because you might say, well, why is it that people would leave a knowledge of one God and go to serve many gods? Ask a Roman Catholic that, because their whole religion is based upon the idea that God, Jesus Christ, is too important to be contacted by you personally. He's way up there and he's very angry with you because you're a reprobate sinner. So we must appeal to St. Mary, St. Mary Magdalene, St. Anne, St. Ignatius de Loyola, St. Mother Teresa, St. Jude, St. John, St. Peter, St. Paul. We must appeal to these quote-unquote saints and follow after them and serve them. These saints in the Catholic Church are nothing more than following after other gods. I want you to read that verse again with that in mind. Deuteronomy 13:2, and the sign of the wonder come to pass. By the way, stop right here. And I covered this. Roman Catholicism is all about signs and wonders. They have what's called the Shroud of Turin. They pull it out every now and then. What happens to it? They unveil it. People come from all over the world and bow before that thing. Catholic Church is full of relics. They're full of apparitions of Mary. A Mexican lady leaves a tortilla on the grill too long, pulls it off. She sees the face of Jesus in the tortilla. She puts, I'm not making this up. She puts the tortilla in this little shrine. People are coming to pray to it. All of a sudden, she starts charging money for people to come to pray to this thing. Come on, people. They're following after these bloated signs and lying wonders. And it's causing them to go after other gods. So, children of Belial, that's all these people over here, are leading people to go and serve these gods. In witchcraft, these gods are known as the elements, earth, air, fire, water. Deuteronomy 32:17, they sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came, look at here, look at that phrase, newly up, whom your fathers feared not. When Saul went to the woman that had a familiar spirit at Endor, where did she see the gods coming from? Up. It says that they're going to serve gods that come newly up. Whom are your fathers feared not? These gods, these devils, are the four elements. Think of it this way. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Think of these four. These are realms of the satanic angels, as it were. These are also the four. When a witch says they get their power from the four elements, they're not getting it from daisies and bullfrogs. They're getting it from gods, devils, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where they're getting their power. If a witch casts a spell and the spell comes to pass, it wasn't the force, Luke, that did that. It was devils. And I submit to you, I've done the research and I've done the videos on it. There's one called Witchcraft in the Church. I did it several years ago. And I show you that there is witchcraft being performed in quote-unquote Christian churches right now. And if that's the case, and they're using the four elements, what that means is that they are in contact and are serving gods, devils, elementals, they call it. Here's a graphic of the pentagram. Notice that it is earth, air, fire, and water. By the way, two of these, there are two sets of two here, and they are opposites. Earth is opposite of air. Fire is opposite of water. And when they are mated together, all four, then they bring forth what is called ether or spirit. So I want you to take, and we kind of concentrated on that last week, the idea that when the four come together, it's going to bring in a fifth element. It's going to cause it to rise up. Here's what Manly Hall said about the pentagram, which most Wiccans use, wizards use it, Satan worshipers do, Freemasons do. In fact, the pentagram that I have on the slide here on the graphic you're going to see is from the Order of the Eastern Star. That pentagram represents the four elements of witchcraft and what rises up when those four elements are brought together. Manly Hall says, the pentagram is the figure of the microcosm, the magical formula of man. It is the one rising out of the four, the human soul rising from the bondage of the animal nature. It is the true light, the star of the morning. It marks the location of five mysterious centers of force, the awakening of which is the supreme secret of white magic. Did you notice that he said it is the star of the morning? It is the true light, the star of the morning. By the way, Masons will use a pentagram in a lot of their imagery. They call it the blazing star of Freemason. They say when we take the square and compass and add it to the open Bible, both of them combine, think of mating, to bring forth the blazing star of Freemasonry. What is that blazing star? What is that star of the morning? Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, angel of light, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, number one, I will ascend into heaven. Number two, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Number three, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Number four, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And number five, seven words, I will be like the Most High. The pentagram represents Satan's plan of being like God. Everybody worshiping what they think is God. After all, don't we all worship the same God? We just give him different names. Well, I would say that the people who actually say that, they do actually all worship the same God. It's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not the God of Bible. It's not the God whose son is Jesus Christ. It's not that God. It is worshiping Lucifer, who will be like the Most High. But this is his five-point plan. Remember, the four come together and bring about the fifth. And the whole purpose of Manasseh practicing witchcraft, practicing wizardry, sorcery, consulting with wizards and so on, the whole purpose of that is to finally bring him to a point to where his mind and his heart is ready to do what none of his forefathers had ever done. Walk into the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was and take a carved image that he made and put it in there. The figure is the Antichrist being in the four-chambered heart, the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. If you want to believe in conspiracies, here is the one great big gigantic all-encompassing conspiracy theory that will cover all of the bases, because that's what everything is about. That's what when they say the Illuminati, that's what the Illuminati is. When they say the New World Order, that's what's going to be the Novus Ordo Seclorum, the New World Order. When that capstone is finally put on the top of that pyramid. Here is another way that the Bible sort of gives you that idea. Remember, the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water, representative of four types of devils or gods, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Think of gods that come newly up out of the ground. Think of locusts in Revelation chapter 9, a key open. By the way, it's the fifth trumpet, all right? And they're loose for 5 months. Satan's five-point plan right there for you. The key opens the bottomless pit. A star falls from heaven. Out there falling from heaven on Lucifer. And up from that comes smoke out of a great furnace. And out of that smoke, locusts. Let's take that now and go to Joel chapter 1 and see what was prophesied of what's going to happen. When the four elements come together and they have done what it is that they do, then the fifth element, ether, spirit, is going to rise up. It's going to take over planet Earth. It's going to rule over mankind. Look at it, Joel chapter 1, verse 3. Let's count things. Tell ye, that's number one, first generation, your children of it, that's second generation. Let your children tell their children, that's third generation, and their children another generation, four generations. Stop right here. You see where we're going with this? He's using this number four. Ye, my generation, tell your children, second generation. Have your children tell their children, third generation. And have their children tell another generation, fourth generation. All right? That's important. Now look at verse 4. That which, and I have these underlined, that which the palmer worm hath left, that's number one, hath the locust eaten. Remember, Revelation 9. And that which the locust hath left hath the canker worm eaten. That's number three. And that which the canker worm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. All of these are devouring worms. The root of the word worm, W-Y-R-M, that was an old English word. And guess what? I'm not going to tell you yet what it referred to. Okay? You'll see it in a little bit. Think worms. All right? Think of these as gods or evil spirits. And their job is to consume and devour. And after they have devoured everything, here's what's going to happen. Verse 5. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine. New wine's picture of the Holy Spirit. For it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land. There's your fifth element right there. Come up. Notice the language. I don't believe that there's any just fill-in language in the Bible. I think it means something. He didn't say a nation has come down upon my land. He said a nation is come up upon my land. Where did they come from? If they came up, they were down. A nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste, barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. If we compare that then to Revelation chapter 9, and the fifth angel sounded. Stop right here. What does that mean? It means four angels previously had already sounded. Think of earth, air, fire, and water. Think of principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. Think of caterpillars and locusts and cankerworms and palmer worms. All in those first four trumpets. When those first four trumpets sound, now we're making way for the fifth trumpet to sound. And when the fifth trumpet sounds, what's going to happen? Something's going to come up. Gods are going to come up. Devils, locusts, all right? There it is. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And then in verse 10, it says, they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for how long? 5 months, okay? Did you know that it was for 5 months exactly that the waters prevailed on the earth in the days of Noah? You go back to Genesis chapter 7, you'll see it. On the 17th day of the second month, it started raining. On the 17th day of the seventh month, the waters stopped going up and they started going down the next day. 5 months exactly as it was in the days of Noah. All right? So, we have the locust army. A nation is coming up. That's Revelation chapter 9. Fifth trumpet sounds. And after them, what comes up? Revelation 9:11. I did a video on this called The Beast of 9/11. If you've not seen it, I encourage you. Because all these 9/11s that show up, advertising, movies, they all showed up before September 11, 2001. Why was September 11th chosen as the day when that great catastrophe happened? That's all explained in that video. You'll have to watch it, all right? Revelation 9:11. Here's what happens. They had a king over them.
Name's Elvis.
Which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Guess who that is? The destroyer, the beast, the Antichrist. He's coming newly up out of the ground. Think of what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden what? Destruction cometh upon them. Who's the destroyer? Abaddon and Apollyon is coming in that day. We go back to Manly Hall and what he says. We're going to make the connection between the four elements and the unfinished pyramid. He says the sides of the great pyramid face the four cardinal angels. Think of north, south, east, and west. Think of summer solstice, which I am recording this Watchman broadcast on the summer solstice. Not for any magical reason. That's just the day that I had in my schedule to do it, all right? But I just think it's interesting. Summer solstice, autumnal equinox in September, winter solstice, December, back to the vernal equinox in March, and that takes you right back around to the summer solstice. That's what the four cardinal directions, the four elements, the four high holy days in Satanism or paganism or whatever. But he says the sides of the Great Pyramid face the four cardinal angles. The base of the pyramid further represents the four material elements or substances from the combinations of which the quaternary body of man is formed. Notice he used the word quaternary. Think of it like you can't see my legs. One arm, two arm, three leg, four leg. My body is divided into quarters, and it's all joined together to make a new man that is formed. All right? Evolution, transhumanism. Going back to the graphic here. The four sides of the unfinished pyramid represent the four elements. And notice that they are rising up and they are all coming together. Whereas, like at the base of a pyramid, this south wall and north wall may be, 100 meters apart. I'm just guessing. But as they go up, they get closer and closer together. Same with east and west. Closer and closer together. Man, right now, you can see it. Man, right now, because of the internet, man is being drawn closer and closer and closer together. And the world is going to be one body, one man. But what one man is that? That's what that capstone's all about. The Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition. So you can see in the pyramid, the four elements joining together so that they can bring forth the fifth element. And you think of Revelation 9, the fifth trumpet sounding, they come out for 5 months, and a king comes up who is the king of the bottomless pit. You see how when we know and believe the Bible, that all of these symbols that everybody just guesses on, we can look at it and go, oh, I know what that is. This is that which was spoken by the prophets. All right? So Hall mentioned the four sides of the pyramid, the four elements from which things are made, all coming together to make a man. We already have that in our bodies. Let me show you this graphic. Four elements would equal four base pairs. Adenine always joins with thymine. It's like earth and air, or a bag of potato chips, earth and air, Rice Krispies, or guanine and cytosine, fire and water. And when these are joined together, they form man. Literally, they form man, because out of these combinations of adenine, thymine, guanine, cytosine, these combinations of amino acids are what makes every part of my body. Follow that? Okay? Because DNA is a book. So we have the four base pairs coming together to make the body of man. Think of the four elements. Look at the graphic here again. The four elements representing the four chambers of the heart, all joined together so that now the beast not only sits in the temple, he has a throne to sit in. And that is the heart of man. Remember, the heart of man is the throne, and it's surrounded by the pericardium, which is the sea of glass that John saw. Okay? So I want you to think of a place in the Bible where something comes out of man. Because a lot of people say, and I know the scriptures, 1 Corinthians tells us not to defile the temple of God, which is our body. And I've had various people tell me over the years, oh, Pastor, don't eat that. Your temple, your body's the temple, and you're defiling the temple by eating that or drinking that or taking that medicine instead of chewing this grass root or whatever. People tell me, oh, you're going to defile your temple by doing that. Jesus said, he set us all straight on this. He said, it is not what goes into man that defiles the man. It's what comes out. Don't want to be gory or crude in any fashion. But think about things that come out of our body. You know, like when you get a stomach virus and you've eaten corn dogs all day, okay? Or this happened to me when I was a teenager. My mom made the best enchiladas in the world. She was good at it. And I ate a big mess of them one night, and I didn't know that I had a stomach virus. 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm just going, I'm not going to make it to the bathroom. Corruption was coming out of me like crazy, all right? Corruption, evil things, defiled. Think of things that the body produces. All of them stink, okay? All of them are nasty, no matter what it is. Truly, Paul said, dwelling in us, abiding in us, Romans 7, is no good thing. And so Jesus said, it's what comes out of the body. That defileth a man. What is it that comes out of the four-chamber heart? Mark chapter 7, take a look at it. He said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, four chambers, four base pairs made that. Here's what comes out of man. Number one, evil thoughts. Number two, adulteries. Number three, fornications. Number four, murders. Let's stop right here. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. All four of those. No matter who does it, they all proceeded out of the heart of men. Think about what Jesus said about adultery. If you lust after a woman, where? In your heart. You've already committed adultery with her. And that's true. Okay? We know that's true. It proceeded out of the heart. Where does murder come from? Murder is almost always a crime of emotion. To take another man's life, you have an emotional reason why. Maybe you're afraid because you're robbing them, that they're going to call the police. Maybe you hate that person. Whatever reason, it's an emotional heart issue. And murder always comes out of the heart. All right? Let's keep reading. That was four things. Five, thefts. Six, covetousness. Seven, wickedness. Eight, deceit. Nine, lasciviousness. 10, an evil eye. Boy, think about that. 11, blasphemy. 12, pride. Look here, we have 13 things, foolishness. 13 things. And when those proceed out of the heart of man, they've all joined together to make one new God. The capstone, the all-seeing eye, the Antichrist. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And the truth of it is, I don't care how you were born, what bloodline you were born from, I don't care where you come from, it doesn't matter. You, as I was going through that list, you're guilty. You've had every one of those things, more than likely, coming out of you. You may not have actually killed somebody, but it was in your heart to do so. You may not have actually committed adultery, but it was there. Okay? And those who let that out, come out of them, now that temple is defiled. So you're understanding now what that pyramid is. We mentioned earlier the 72 rows of stones. That is the 72 nations, Genesis 10. And that's where we're going with this. Eventually, when we get there, it's going to be good. Okay? But this beast rising up out of the pit, the Bible tells us that the strange woman is a pit, the mouth of a strange woman. We are the source of this man of sin. Everybody coming together as one now. We're going to lay that final capstone on the pyramid so he can rule over all of us who come from the four quarters of the earth. Okay, now this is Jezebel. She is the She is the whore. She is the mistress of witchcrafts. So we're studying her. We're studying, we found out that she serves the gods, which are the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. Now we're going to see something else about Jezebel and her witchcrafts. Okay? So this is the second part of it. This is kind of where we left off the last time. Now we're bringing in the new part. She is the responsible, let me say this again. She is responsible for the transfer of authority. Let me show you that. 1 Kings 21:7. Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, "Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry, and I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." I want you to look at rule number 6. Remember, we talked about the 13 rules that witches have. Isn't it amazing that they have 13 of them? Why not 15? Why not 17 and a half? They have exactly 13 rules. Why? Because of who rules over them. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations, that's 10, of the earth, 13 words. That's her number. That's why they have 13 rules. Rule number 6 is, we do not recognize any authoritarian hierarchy. In other words, no man tells us what to do. Nobody on this earth, president, king, prime minister, congressman, constable, police officer, nobody tells us what to do. That, you know what that is? Sounds like little teenagers. My dad can't tell me what to do. I'll do whatever I want to. We call it rebellion. Remember what Samuel told Saul? Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now you know what spirit is in witches. Now you know why you can go in some churches. You, with the Holy Ghost of God, believing the Word of God, the Spirit of God is in you. You go into some churches and all of a sudden you just, there is an evil spirit. And you know it. You just can't really identify it, but you know it. You can't really pick out who it is, but you know it's there. That's the Spirit of God saying, we're not going to stay here very long, okay? There's probably a Jezebel witch whore in that church, or a whole group of them. It might even be the pastor in that church. That spirit is in there. She is in that church. And the spirit that you have in you doesn't, they don't get along, okay? They repel. They stay far away from one another, okay? But she is, Jezebel is responsible for the transfer of authority. Let me show you this, okay? Let's say my pen here is a church. My church, or this church, is governed over by the Word of God. The Bible is in authority over a local congregation. Okay? Follow me so far. Or let's say a believer. You said you got saved, you wanted the knowledge of God, so you started reading the Bible and you were believing it. Then Jezebel comes along. "Hi, we're from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We'd like to talk to you about Jesus and the church." "Okay, come on in. I just got saved here a while back, and I'm interested in hearing everything I can." Here's Jezebel. Here's you. The Bible's in authority over you. She's not going to have that. She's going to transfer authority and bring you over here. Now, the Book of Mormon is authority over you. Now, the Jesus of the Mormon Church, which is another Jesus, now he owns you. He rules over you. Her spirit controls you. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that's your new boss now. She is the spirit that got you over there. Same thing with the Hebrew Roots movement. Countless people coming to the Lord, asking Jesus into their heart, reading a Bible. All of a sudden, somebody got sent to them, or they were told to watch this YouTube video because they may not know the real Yeshua. So they were grounded here on the Word of God, or thought they were. And then Jezebel came and put him under the authority of the Hebrew rabbis. See how it works? This is the vineyard. Naboth no longer owns the vineyard by the word of God, by the authority of God. Ahab does. Who got it for him? Jezebel. Here's a church and a denomination that back in the 30s, and they formed said denomination. I'm speaking of one in particular. Back in the 30s, when they actually formed the National Association of a particular denomination, and they were writing out their doctrinal thesis and all the things that they believed, all the verses were from the King James Bible, every one of them, because that's the only one they had, and that's the one they believed. And then over time, Jezebel took them, twisted their thinking. So now they've left the King James. They've gone after other Bibles. The vineyard was taken from the authority of the Word of God to the authority of the hierarchy of the denomination being led by another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit. So if you attended a church in your childhood and you heard King James Bible preaching, and you thought, man, this is great. And then you know how it happens. You know, people get away from the Lord, and they get off in the wilderness for a while. Then they want to return back to the faith of their fathers. See, I know this. I did it. So they go back to the church of their childhood, and they sit in the pews, and all of a sudden now, things don't sound the same as they did 30 years ago. The music's different. And they really liked the old hymn book music. And now the music's different. And now the preaching style's different. And now the verses, where did that come from? And you brought in an old King James Bible, and they never actually opened a Bible. Some verses were up on the screen, but they were from translations. You had no idea where they came from. And you notice that things have changed in that church, but you don't know how they got that way. She did it. Jezebel did it. Mystery Babylon did it. And once the authority has been transferred over, you're no longer going to hear the story of the grace of God through Jesus Christ. You're going to hear about how we need to perform things, and we need to do things, and we need to do this to get revival, and we must do that to get God to do something. You see, that's all various forms and degrees of witchcraft. Performance-based salvation. The church has been transferred from the authority of the Word of God to Ahab himself. And Jezebel is the witch that got them there. So the transfer of authority or dominion in someone who professes a belief in Christian or a home or a church or a nation. A whole nation being under at one time under the authority of the Ten Commandments and the Word of God. Now, we're not that way anymore. We're under a new guard, a new authority. There's a new spirit in this land. Rainbow sodomite flags are flying all over the nation. See where I'm going? Different spirit. Jezebel got this nation out from under the authority of the Word of God over to Ahab himself, serving the other gods. So we have Saul now as an example of how this works. Watch this. Watch what Saul did and watch what happened. 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Notice this. He made the choice to walk away from the Bible. Those who follow the Hebrew Roots movement, they made a choice. They didn't get kidnapped, gagged with and handcuffed with duct tape. Into the back of a white van they go to a secret location out in the middle of the Moab desert. And now they're being mind control programmed by listening to heavy metal music and watching Boy George videos. And now they're being told who their real master is. I serve Obama. See, that's not how it happens. They made the choice to reject the word that brought them to Christ. They made the choice to reject that and go after this. Rebellion is as the thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now look what happened. 1 Samuel 16. Look at what happened to Saul. When he rejected this, Jezebel said, you don't need that. You don't need what Samuel's telling you all wrong. You don't need that. Okay? Watch what happened. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. See how it works? He had the Holy Spirit guiding him. He rejected that. And now an evil spirit has so much control over Saul that he gets in a foul mood. The Spirit puts him in a foul mood. That's how much control. And so then where did he end up? When he wanted to know about the next day's battle, did he go read his Bible? Did he get the law of Moses out? No. And then God said, I'm not speaking to you anymore through the prophets. That wasn't Samuel. It wasn't Samuel. God said, I'm not speaking to you anymore by dreams or by the prophets. It was a familiar spirit. Jezebel, and by the way, the witch at Endor was a woman. It was her, Jezebel, that got Saul out from under the word of the Lord through Samuel over to a familiar spirit. Okay? That's how it works. And so churches all over the nation, all over this country, all over Kenya, I see it in Kenya, I see it everywhere. They're rejecting the Bible. They're rejecting the stiffness and the authoritativeness, if that's a word, the authoritarian identity of the Word of God. They're rejecting that. Because 50, 60, 70 years of seminary training of our pastors has finally brought about churches all over America that are rejecting the Bible. Because these guys have been told in the seminary, the Bible's not right anyway. We don't even have the Bible. We don't even have the original Bible. We just got a few manuscripts that we scraped together, and we know that they're wrong. So then the translations based on them have got to be wrong too. That's Mystery Babylon. That's Jezebel. She's the one teaching in the seminaries. I know her. Okay? So anyway, they reject the word of the Lord. Now what are we going to do in a church service? Play golf? Sit around, drink coffee, and watch football? What are we going to do in a church service? We have to replace it with something. They replace it with lying signs, false wonders, false words of God. Notice this. This is stuff that's in the church. The power of positive confession. Frederick K.C. Price, the power of positive confession. Sid Ross at Supernatural. Mark Verkler, how to hear God's voice. Honey, the circle maker. Christian yoga, the Sacred Name Bible. This stuff is nothing more than repackaged witchcraft. The power of positive confession. Joyce Myers, Frederick Price, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin. All of these guys learning this from Finnis Dake and others. Telling people you must confess these right power words in order to get God released unto you. God's not in prison, the Antichrist is. So whatever it is these people are releasing, it's not God. But it is witchcraft. And Jezebel successfully transferred authority from God only speaks through the Bible. See, Mark Verkler says, I'm going to teach you how to hear God's voice. Really? So when I read Psalm 23, I'm not hearing it. When I read John 3:16, is it not there? When I read Revelation 22, can I not hear God speaking to me through Revelation chapter 22? See, these guys abandon the Word of God. They want you to go into a trance. That Mark Verkler especially wants you to go into a contemplative prayer style trance and start listening to that inner whispering voice on the inside of you and then writing it down as God's Word to you. A witch's book of shadows. Do you know what it is? It starts out, the witch's book of shadows starts out as an empty book. She doesn't buy a book of shadows from other witches because her spells are hers alone. So it starts out as an empty diary. And then the witch, the Wiccan, starts writing in the spells that work, and the enchantments to use. Her Book of Shadows is her diary of what she said or what came to her by way of her familiar spirit. Mark Verkler's teaching the exact same thing on Sid Roth Supernatural. Go into a trance, get into a darkened room, light a candle, play the soft music, start getting into this trance, start hearing this voice, and you start writing it down. That's your new Bible now. Now you're hearing the voice of God. See, they left this book because they don't believe the voice of God's here anymore. They left that. Honey the Circle Maker. This guy, Mark Batterson, did not get from the scriptures this story of Honi and how he drew a circle. He got it from Jewish Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism, Jewish fables. That's what he got it from. He got it from Jewish fables and selling multi-millions of dollars of worth of books going and videos and teachings and calendars going out all over the world because this guy said, draw a circle in it and make God do what you tell him, what you command him to do. That's witchcraft. Christian yoga. Getting it, the word yoga means connection. Getting connected to what? The familiar spirits, the gods. That's what yoga is all about. Sacred names, same thing. You must say Yahushua. And if you don't say Yahushua, and another guy goes, it's not Yahushua, you idiot. It's Yahshua. No, it's not Yahshua. It's Yahashusha. No, it's not. And they argue amongst themselves. How can we say a sacred name when they don't even know what it is? Get a little fired up at this stuff. It makes me angry to have these people come out and attack Bible-believing Christians, telling them that you're calling on Zeus. You said the name Jesus. God doesn't even know what that is. He's going, I can't hear you. I'm not even listening. I'm telling you, it's witchcraft. They've rejected the Word of God and its simplicity, and they have taken many of their converts over now into such a complicated system. And the Kabbalah, the most complicated religious mentality in the entire universe is the Kabbalah. You'll never figure it out, ever. It's not meant to be figured out. Whereas David said, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. See how simple that is? It's like a two-year-old toddler stubbing his toe, hitting his head, falling, cutting his knee, and screaming bloody murder. You know what he's doing? Sounding the alarm. Mama, come and help me. Mama doesn't say my name correctly, say mother dear. Mama doesn't do that, not a real mama. Mama hears the cry and comes running, and that's my God. He is my Father. He does not command that I say his name with the right accent. He hears me when I cry. See, that's the simplicity of the gospel that I believe. All this other stuff, witchcraft, and it's right in the church, and Jezebel is the one who got the churches, one after another, to leave this and go for all this stuff here. It happens in a church. Watch this. In Revelation 2, verse 20, watch this now. This is Jesus speaking. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman. Look at there, he named her Jezebel. Thou sufferest, which means allows, that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess. Stop right here. She is always going to be identified because she is self-appointed. God did not call her. She called herself. Do you know how Joyce Myers got into churchianity? You know that as far as I could tell, she never went forward at an altar call, confessed her sins to God and wept and cried and everything else. She described this to a reporter from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. I think it's in 2004, did a very lengthy article series on her. Several articles in the Sunday Post that came out years ago. I remember it. I think I have a copy of it somewhere. She said that she was called into the ministry coming out of practicing astrology and witchcraft, by seeing a vision of Jesus who personally called her into preaching all over the world to both men and women in churches. That wasn't this Jesus. It was another one. She calls herself a prophetess to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to... Two of the four things that we're told not to do from Acts chapter 15. That's what she tells everybody. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Here's a whole list of self-appointed prophetesses. Joyce Meyer, change your words, change your life. Paula White, Pastor. Paula White. Beth Moore, the Holy Mother Mary the Virgin, sitting on top of the Ark of the Covenant. Oh dear. You see, these women violate the Word of God. See, they've rejected it. The Word of God says, 1 Corinthians 14, let your women be silent. Ephesians, Paul said it again, let your women remain silent in the church. For it is not permitted unto them to speak. It is not allowed for them to usurp the authority over man. There can be no women preachers according to the Bible. Not according to me. I'm a big sexist macho guy that hates women. Beats on his wife all the time. No. Not all the time. Just kidding. It didn't come from me. It comes from the Bible. And it's laid out very plain. And when people tell you, when you ask, and I had a guy ask, okay, what it says in the Bible, you know, the women are not to speak or usurp authority. That was for them back then. That's not for us now. God's doing new things now, and he's calling women to preach and evangelize. Joyce Myers, she's called to preach. Beth Moore, Paula White, Marilyn Hickey, all of these guys. Well, they're good, too. They got some good stuff now. You know how you can tell it's Jezebel? She's standing behind the pulpit preaching to everybody. That's how you can tell. She calls herself a prophetess. God did not call her. She appointed herself to that role. She put herself in authority over men. It's not to be allowed in the scriptures. There's Virgin Mary sitting in the Ark of the Covenant. We've dealt with that. It even happens. Watch this. You all watch this now. Jezebel. Transfer of authority. Who's going to be in charge in the home? Who is supposed to... I'm going to get in trouble... Who is supposed to be in charge in the home? Is it the kids? Is it Florence the maid? Is it, who is it? The husband. Why do we not see the typical traditional American family anymore in America? Very rare. We don't see it because the devil knows where the authority is. And if the authority is gone, he has free reign in that house. Okay? The man is to be... Let me read it. Okay? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. You see, I'll get hated simply because I read that verse and I say, you know what, I believe that. My wife and I've been very honest about this, in years gone by, we both struggled with that issue. I simply was just going to let my wife do whatever she wants. Honey, if that's your decision, if you want to quit your job, that's fine. That's up to you. And God smote me one day and said, Mike, she's your wife. She's under your authority. You're actually, it's not her decision. It's actually yours. And she has been pleading with you based on what I laid on her heart. The decision is yours, not hers. She's already told you how she feels. She counseled you. She counseled me. She was telling me. And I wasn't listening. But God had dealt with her, too, about who wears the pants in the family. Who's the head of the household. Now, I'm not a dictator. I'm not the master, and my wife and children are all my slaves. She counsels me, just like you see it in the Bible. Esther. Counseling King Ahasuerus, giving him wise counsel. That's how it's supposed to work. She's our help meet for us. It's not good that we be alone, men. Not even in the decisions we make. She is part of that decision process. That's why God gives us the wives he gives us. Okay? Learn that lesson. I did. I learned it the hard way. Learn it the easy way. You'll be better off. Okay? But I know most of us, we got to go down kicking and screaming. All right? But in the home, the husband is the head of the house. the wife is to submit to his authority. Okay? She can give him good counsel. And I've made it known that I listen to my wife. And I pray all the time, God, do not let my wife counsel me the wrong way. God has always blessed that. We just trust God. Okay? But the Bible, this Bible, says those words exactly. So what's Jezebel going to do? It's going to make the woman no longer subject to her husband. In making her equal, he is actually making her the head. This is what Jezebel does. Watch this. We're going to go back to Sid Roth again, because he had a guest on there by the name of Brian Simmons. Here's what Brian Simmons said. Jesus Christ came into my room. Stop right here. What Jesus was that there, Brian? It was another Jesus. That's who it was. He had a familiar spirit. Jesus came into my room, he breathed on me, and he commissioned me. He spoke to me and said, I am commissioning you to translate the Bible. And he promised me he would give me secrets of the Hebrew language. When he breathed on me, I felt downloads coming instantly. Jim Staley said the same thing. It was like I got a chip put inside me. Here we go. We're going to have chips put inside people's heads. Mark it down. I got a connection. That's what the word yoga means. Put inside of me to understand the scriptures better. Better than who? Remember what Ahab offered Naboth for that vineyard? I'll give you a better vineyard. You remember what all these preachers say when they get up behind you? Remember, you went to church as a child. You heard King James Bible preaching. You got away from the Lord. Went and took a bunch of drugs. Slept with a bunch of people. Went whoring around everywhere. Got drunk. Got arrested. You decided you're going to live for the Lord again. You went back to the church now, and they're not preaching out of the King James. You know what they hear the preacher saying? Now, a better translation is this. I like the way the NIV translates this better. A better understanding of this word is always giving you something better. Brian Simmons had this Jesus giving him a better translation. Guess what it said? He says, and he's using the illustration, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. Now, we just read that in the King James. Wives, submit unto your husbands as unto the Lord. That's what this says. He rejected that, and so have millions of other people. So he said, the chip in his brain, boy, think about it. He said the chip in his brain gave him a new sense and a new understanding, a new awareness of how to translate this. So here's how he translated it. Put it up on the screen. Wives, be tenderly devoted to your husbands as the church is tenderly devoted to Christ. You see what it took out? Submission. Tenderly devoted is like people going to an Elvis concert. They're tenderly devoted. Love me. I'm picking on Elvis today. I don't know why. People devoted to Elvis. People devoted to Mark McGuire. People devoted to LeBron James. They just won the NBA deal. People can be devoted, but when the guy says, give me 20 push-ups, I ain't giving you 20 push-ups. I don't have to do that. When a woman is tenderly devoted to her husband, she does not have to be submissive. All she has to do is keep him around the house for a while, have him pay the bills, do the dishes every now and then. Okay? Jezebel sent a familiar spirit to this guy, downloaded false doctrine in his brain. He rejects the word of the Lord. Now rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. See, it all works back to that, doesn't it? And now he tells people, wives, you don't have to be submitted to your husband. Church, you don't have to be submitted to Christ. It doesn't really mean that. You just have to be devoted to Christ. In other words, it's making the woman, the church, equal to Jesus. And we don't have to do what he says. We just have to love him. Jezebel, that's what she's done. Look at this. Here's another character. Playing the part of Mystery Babylon the Great is Herodias. Watch this. For Herod had laid hold on John the Baptist, and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. Stop right here. Herod liked his brother's wife more than he liked his own. So him and her have a few little flings, little affairs, adultery. And now he has taken his own brother's wife to himself. And John the Baptist said, "You're not doing right according to the law, Herod. You've got your brother's wife, and you're not supposed to do that. You've just uncovered your brother's nakedness, and there's punishment for that." Herodias, the wife, heard about it. She threw John in prison. She had Herod put John in prison. Now watch this. She wants John the Baptist dead. You know who John the Baptist is? Right here. He's the prophet of God. Hence, he is a representation of the authority of the Bible. "For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her." Verse 5, "And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet." See it? "But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them, twerking, and pleased Herod." It's like watching Miley Cyrus on MTV. "Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. The king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given to her. And he sent and beheaded John in prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother." You know who the head of John the Baptist would be? Who's the head of the body? Jesus, the Word of God. Herodias hated the Word of God. Now we're going to get rid of it. We're going to cut its head off. We're going to entice those in authority. Herod, who would have submitted to the authority of the Word of God, but because of his lust now is enticed by Jezebel, Mystery Babylon the Great, Herodias, and her, by the way, it's her daughter. So that makes, Herodias is an adulterer, a whore. So that makes the daughter of Herodias a daughter of whoredoms. Truly, Herodias here is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. That's how it happens. Through lust, through sins of the flesh, lust of the eyes, that's how she works. Bringing people into bondage, getting them to reject the authority of the Word of God. That's in the church. That's how it works in the church. Get them away from the King James. I don't like that Bible because it says that I can't do this. So we go to another church now where we can do whatever we want to. And the guy up there in the stage lights is telling us that we're okay. We're all going to go to heaven one of these days. Don't worry about it. Do whatever you want to. Okay? Become an atheist lesbian witch and you'll still go to heaven. Right? Okay? That's how it works in a church. Now we're going to see how it works in a nation. The authority, as in a church, the written record of the Word of God is the authority over that church, as opposed to this ethereal word coming to the prophet or the prophetess. Ooh, God's given me a new word. Ooh, God, yes. God says that God is going to make everybody in this church wealthy if you will plant a seed into this church, this ministry of $1,000, God, ooh, I'm getting that word. It's strong from God. God's really going to do this. Everybody's getting their checkbook out and writing it because they fell for it. They rejected this, and they deserve to. If you fall for that stuff, you deserve to lose your $1,000 or $10,000 or whatever it is. Okay? They reject this, and they fall for that. That's Jezebel. That's how she works. In the nation, there is a written authority over the nation. Here it is. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. The preamble to the Constitution.
And yeah, I had the song going on in my head. We the people, in order to form a more... I had that song in my head. Okay? Schoolhouse Rock did have a little positive effect on people like me. Okay? The Constitution's supposed to be an authority over America, right? We're not supposed to have some rich people in other countries ruling over us, correct? Not supposed to? Then what are all these United Nations World Heritage and Biospheres doing all over the country? There's a pastor's wife that I know. She fights this in her area day after day, month after month, year after year. She's won some battles. She is constantly fending off United Nations dictatorial authority over certain land areas where her husband pastors. Because there is a constant effort by an authority outside of the Constitution of the United States. The gun grab. The gun grab is going to come by way of probably a United Nations effort. It's never going to be done internally. It's going to be us submitting to the authority of the United Nations or some other greater authority. I'm going to take a look at this map. United Nations World Heritage and Biosphere Programs in the United States. In other words, the United Nations now has claimed authority over land that is supposed to be under the authority of the Constitution. And the Constitution is we the people. There are places in this country where a man can own a farm handed down by his father, who got it from his father, who got it from his father, handed down generation to generation, a 500-acre farm, or much larger in Montana, okay, 10,000-square-mile radius in Montana somewhere, a farm, cattle ranch owned by some guy. But now he finds out all of a sudden that that pond he's got on the back 40 acres, he can't drain it and do something else with it because now the United Nations has dictatorial authority over that pond. And he can't touch it. The authority has been removed from the man to Mystery Babylon the Great, to another source, the United Nations. Okay? Let me show you how this works. Mystery Babylon is a woman. So is the earth. Genesis chapter 4, she opened her mouth. She has a womb, Job. And you see it all through the Bible. The earth characterized as a woman. So think of Al Gore worshiping Gaia. He's worshiping the earth. She is Mystery Babylon the Great. And she doesn't like the fact that men have dominion over her. She's like the Jezebel woman sitting in the church who's not allowed to stand up and voice her opinion. She's like the female candidate for president. Yeah, I said it. She is the woman who hates the authority of the man on her. She is the spirit of this earth, Gaia, who can't stand the fact that a man owns land. That's terrible. Man owns land. That's God. Genesis chapter 1, from the day of the creation, God gave it to man. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. The image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. You see here that God gave man dominion over fish of the sea, fowl of the air, cattle, over all the earth, all the creeping things in the earth. They are man's to do with what he pleases. Now, granted, man sometimes doesn't do the right thing, but that authority still belongs to the man. God told Joshua, after he crossed the River Jordan, every place that the soles of your feet touch, I'm going to give to you. His feet have 10 toes. I'm not going to put my feet on this, take my shoes off to show you. You know it has 10 toes. That 10 is a number for dominion. And he says, every place your feet touch, that's your land. And Jezebel, Mystery Babylon, Gaia, hates man having authority over her. So in this country, as it is around the world, slowly but surely, land ownership and the rights to land ownership are being taken away from mankind so that Mystery Babylon, Gaia, the mother of harlots, no longer has man as dominion over her. It happens in a church, happens in a nation, it happens in people's homes, people's lives. The transfer of authority, that's who Jezebel, that's what she does, and she's good at it. How many churches do you think? Let's say in a church of our size, let's say there's 60 churches. Out of the 60 churches in Festus, Missouri, if you were to just take a guess at how many do you think are using only the King James Word of God as final authority in their church, as opposed to other churches that are either using other translations or they're getting their doctrine from the Vatican or they're getting supernatural words from some God source out there. You see, not only is Jezebel mean and harsh, she's very good at what she does, at seducing prophets, at getting people out from under, getting the vineyard out from under the authority of the written record of the Word of God over to Ahab. It's happening, folks. It's going on right now. She is the mistress of witchcraft. And that's the thing, is that as long as the man is in charge, she can't do anything. As long as Naboth was alive, she knew she couldn't touch that land. What do you got to do? You got to kill off Naboth. You got to kill the Constitution. Got to kill the written record of the Word of God. We have to outlaw the King James Bible. Funny thing is, most churches have it outlawed already. They just don't admit that. They just don't use it anymore. That's Mystery Babylon. That's Jezebel, the mistress of witchcraft. Because as long as the Bible stands in the way, she can't gather all the pieces of Osiris and put him back together again. She cannot gather the four elements together because God's people are standing in the way. Get them out of the way. Get their authority taken out. We'll give you the Antichrist. That's what she does. That's what she's good at. She'll be the one to bring everybody together so the capstone can be laid on the pyramid. While we're dealing with witchcraft and sorcery and wizardry. Because that's what's going to bring it all together. Alright? There's more on this thing. She writes letters and raises up false witnesses. We're going to talk about that next week. Alright? Thank you for being with us. God bless you. Thank you for enjoying these broadcasts. Pray for us. Support us if you can. Help us out if you can. If for nothing else, send people out the word. Tell them. Tell them about us. Tell them what God's doing. Tell them what God has shown us from His Word. All right? God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.